Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, 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 Life Transformation listeners. I am your host, speaker, author, and master resilience trainer, Sean Douglas, and I have a guest here that has been inspiring young hearts and minds forever. Coach Johnson. Are you there, Coach?
You went blank. Now I can hear you.
Okay.
I'm losing you again. You're cutting in and out.
Okay. We will fix this. How are you?
I'm doing great.
All right. We're working through some things here. So I got to ask you, why do you do what you do? What is your why?
My why is that I grew up in a sports family and fell in love with the game of basketball and wanted to take my talents all the way to the NBA, but then I got cut in college and realized that that part wasn't going to come true. But I was so passionate about sports and basketball in particular, and both my parents were teachers, and my dad, in fact, was my high school basketball coach. So I really wanted to find a way that I could combine working with young people and using the game of basketball. And so I was a coach for 35 years. I enjoyed it immensely, and it was a great way to try to make a difference in people's lives by combining two of my loves, young people and the game of basketball. And now I've made the transition, which we'll talk into more of. Now I'm doing a different way by going around the country and giving inspirational leadership keynote talks. So
that's awesome. That's amazing. So let's learn more about Coach Johnson. So based on what has transpired in a few short moments in early 2006, Coach Jim Johnson is now an authority on the subject of realizing your dreams. In his many public speaking appearances, the Rochester, New York resident relates his role in a high school basketball game that made national headlines. He emphasizes the importance of teamwork and sportsmanship, concepts which gave Coach Johnson. Coach has appeared on Oprah and in dozens of other national TV and radio shows. He's had the privilege of meeting former President George Bush and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. And in 2011, he released his first book, A Coach and a Miracle, Life Lessons from a Man Who Believed in an Autistic Boy. This year, Coach was named the Class A Section 5 coach this past season so that he can speak full-time. He also works closely with a Rochester area nonprofit called Autism Up. On February 15th, 2006, Coach Johnson's autistic manager, Jason McGowan, in Greece Athena High School's final home game, which the Trojans won 79-43. J-Mac scored 20 points in just over 4 minutes, including 6 3-point baskets, to become an instant national celebrity. Coach Johnson, who was featured in major news outlets around the country, to make the Hollywood ending complete, Grace Athena captured the first Section 5 title of Coach Johnson's career a few weeks later. Man, what was that experience like, being there and experiencing it front row?
Well, the game that Jason got in, you know, everybody calls him J-Mac, was without doubt the greatest thrill that I've ever had in coaching. It was just a night that was so real. I mean, I was numb for a number of days after that, and I was just so touched how the whole thing came together, from the fact that he, in my mind, had a miracle night, and the fact that how much his teammates supported him, our community supported him. And then and it was also, I think, you know, I'm a big believer in God, and I think it was a way that God could share, because we have a lot of questions right now about people on the autism spectrum, and I think he gave a lot of people
sure.
and their families on the spectrum a lot of hope by Jason doing something really awesome in a high school basketball game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it, man, did it tug on people's heartstrings or what? I mean, even now people still talk about it, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, I think, it's touched a lot of lives. And, you know, when I do two keynotes, and my inspirational keynote I call Dreams Really Do Come True. One of the things I do early in the talk is show a five-minute video, and I often see a lot of people tears start to roll down their face. So it's, you know, it was a very, very emotional night, very much positive, but certainly touched people's hearts very deeply.
I know when I was watching the YouTube video and preparing the show notes and all that stuff, you know, and I showed my wife, I said, that I'm going to have on. I was like, you have to watch this video. And her and I are both watching it, and we're just like, oh, you know, like it's just that – it's that feel-good, like, I mean, really, dreams do come true, you know, and dream a big dream. And the fact that the whole school was in such support – of this young man, because we know that high schools can be brutal, you know, with bullying and the, you know, and the seclusion of, well, you're not a jock, so you're nothing, and you're not a prep, or you're a nerd, or you're a geek, or, you know, there's so much seclusion in high school, and the kids are just longing to belong, and to have the amount of support during this game had What do you think?
Yeah, I actually cut out just towards the end. That's why I wasn't sure when he ended.
Oh, yeah.
So I,
yeah, no.
Yeah.
It had to have been monumental.
Yeah, it was such a wonderful feeling to see. Because when Jason first joined our program, myself included, you know, we didn't know a lot about autism. That was back in 2003, 2004. And I remember early on, he was our team manager on our JVs. I was the varsity coach his first year. And early on, I think the kids had some adjustment period, adjusting to Jason and that kind of thing. But it was so awesome to see how, you know, Jason put his heart and soul into our basketball program. And the kids really admired that. And he became very special. I saw a number of times after games, you know, because he would be so wound up that they were straightening his shirt out and his tie. And so it was really special. And the interesting thing is we had his senior year, which I thought we were going to have a very good team. We had a lot of internal strife that I write about in my book, A Coach and a Miracle. And it really hurt our team immensely for a part. And Jason was kind of our rock through that, all that. But I wasn't exactly sure. I mean, the thing that was so special to me is when I put Jason in the game, two things that jumped right out to me. Number one, that how the student body gave him a standing ovation, and they put up all these placards of Jason's face with Jason. And I did not know that. And what happened, and one of our parents, that was kind of our unofficial photographer, had put all these placards together and gave them to our student body, which we called the Six Men, and they showed those when he got in. I actually got so overwhelmed with emotion, I sat down and started to cry. And then the other thing that struck me so deeply was that when Jason got in the game, the four kids who were on the court with him, I had never asked them to pass him the ball yet in those last 4 minutes. He was the only one that shot, and that was really special to see what, you know, I think is the essence of teamwork. In fact, Jason's come back, and he was one of my assistants, and I had a volunteer basis for the last 9 seasons I coached, and I always kid him. I said, Jason, I'm still looking for your first assist. Every time you got the ball, you shot it, and he always laughs. But it was, without a doubt, the greatest moment I've ever had in coaching. And I'm fortunate to have a lot of success. We won a number of championships after Jason's year, but nothing will ever top that from the coaching perspective.
From the time you started coaching, even till now, what was your transformation? How do you feel that you've grown through all of the experiences?
Well, my real epiphany was about around the time we have one child, and I was in my early 30s when we had him. And I, in my 20s, I really struggled because I wasn't really sure about my mission. And when I had my son, or I should say my wife had my son, but when we had their son, it really hit me about, you know, why it was coaching. And I started to read a lot. And one of the first books I read was Dr. Covey's book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And in the book, in one of the habits, he talks about having your own personal mission statement. And I kept asking myself, why was I put on this earth? Because at that point in my life, I really didn't have a clear-cut direction, and it really made me think. And the first thing that jumped in my mind is I want to become a role model for not only my son, but my all the players that I coached and taught as well. And so I made that part of it. And then as it continued, I really started to put more things down. And something I challenge in my keynotes, I'm always asking people, do you have your own personal mission statement written down? And because it gives you real clarity in your life. And when I became clear on my mission, which is to be an outstanding role model that makes a positive difference in the world by helping others make their dreams come true, it really helped me with my decision-making and my choices. And the interesting thing is as my choices got better, my life got better, and then all of a sudden my teams, because I really floundered early in my career. My first varsity coaching job, I got fired after 1 year. After 7 years as of a head coach, I was like 40 games under 500. So I struggled a lot, and I learned a lot. But when I became clear about my mission, and I really felt I became a better person, which led me to be a better teacher and a coach. And certainly the results on the court was changed because we started to have a lot better teams. And then Jason came in my life, which was really kind of the second epiphany, because when he came into our program, we had won a lot of games, but then I had another real obstacle in my life that was we kept losing in our postseason tournament, which we call our sectionals. And going into Jason's sophomore year, we'd lost 4 times in the sectional semifinals. And Jason's sophomore year, we lost again in the semifinals for the 5th time. And then when Jason, as a junior, came out for the team and didn't make it, but he became my team manager, he kind of adopted this mantra to stay focused and would help coach win his first sectional 5 championship. And we ended up losing in the semifinals again, now for the 6th time in my career. And I was beside myself. I just didn't know. But I just learned so much from Jason about, you know, the art of perseverance, which I talk about in one of my keynotes, and how he just had that never give up mindset. And, you know, he didn't make the team as a senior because he still wasn't quite good enough. But I shared with him that because he was so loyal and committed, that I wanted to give him a gift. And that was on senior night, I was going to give him a uniform and hopefully get him in the game. And fortunately, he got in and shocked the world. But and then 3 weeks later, we ended up winning our first Section 5 championship. And as I kid people, Jason came back in our program, and we ended up winning 6 total. So he's kind of my good luck charm. And I
was going to say, good luck charm.
He's really become like a second son, and we're very close. And, you know, we've done a lot together, and I'm looking forward to continue to do that. So
do you feel like the game of basketball was the vehicle for your transformation, or was it the people that came into your life?
Basketball was something I was very passionate about, but I think my transformation was created by the people in my life and the resources of really trying to feed my mind between talking to people I respected, to reading a lot of books, to, you know, I've turned my car into a library on wheels. I always listen to, you know, some kind of educational, inspirational CD in my car. So when I started to feed my mind and really, you know, find out what highly successful people are doing consistently, that was my major transformation. And as I said, I think the core of that was when I really became clear about my own personal mission statement, the why. And once I got that clear, it really started to pave a road to success for me.
Yeah, so it sounds like change your mind, change your life, or change your mindset, change your life.
Absolutely. I think the power of mindset, and it's interesting because in my career early on, I was so into, you know, new plays and new drills, and probably the last decade, even longer, it became, you know, how can I inspire people better? How can I read body language? How to build a team? Those are the things I really studied, and I think it helped me immensely in, you know, putting together a number of championship teams, because I started to learn more about people and learn more about, you know, team and leadership development, which is so important.
Absolutely. And that you change your life, and it's just incredible the things that you can accomplish.
Yeah, for sure.
So what was the best part of the transformation?
The best part is that I really felt it just helped me in all phases of my life. I think I became a better husband. I became a better father. I became a better teacher and a coach. I became a better friend. I just felt I became a better person, and I was proud of what I turned into after, you know, really struggling a lot in my, you know, in my late teens, and then, you know, really through my whole 20s, where I just floundered, didn't have a lot of direction, and, you know, when I really changed that transformation and became clear about what I should be all about and, you know, lived a life that I'm proud of, that helped me immensely.
Wow, that's awesome. So what would you say was the worst part about the transformation?
The worst part was that when you make changes in your life, you're going to lose people. And there's some people that, you know, I was pretty close when I had my floundering days, that when I made decisions that I was going to go in a different direction, that I had to separate from some people that I had been fairly close with. That was hard at first. Then I realized that, you know, your true friends are the people that are going to like you for who you are and that kind of thing. And so, you know, but that was definitely a challenging period. And also a challenging period for me was, you know, making some adjustments in my lifestyle, you know, that I'm very proud of that I did. But at the time, you know, I used to like to go out and party some, and you know, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I really made a decision that, you know, if I was going to be a role model, I had to change some things that I was doing in my life. So
absolutely. And it kind of hits home, because, you know, as you get into other levels of your life, as you progress through, sometimes, you know, the people that you've been with just don't serve the purpose anymore, or they just, they're not elevating, and they're not on the same journey as us. And I think that's really hard for us to grasp, that who are close to us, who are friends of ours, but, you know, I mean, if they're not on the same path as us, you know, I mean, we're going this way. And if they're not going the same way as us, then, you know, it's just a part of life. You know, we lose contact. We lose, you know, distance.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. So.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. Yeah, I've definitely ask you, you know, and I watched your, you know, the video, and I thought what really stood out to me, it was kind of funny, you know, after he, you know, wildly missed a shot, as you put it, you know, he like wildly airballs, you put your head in your hands, you're like, oh God, please get him a basket. Like, oh God.
Right.
You know, so how did you think God played a role in your life?
Well, I'm a practicing Catholic, and I always believed in God. You know, I guess my religious beliefs have kind of had their highs and lows throughout my life. I'm really a pretty strong believer now myself, and, you know, I'm a regular church goer, but I did go through a period of time where I didn't go to church nearly as much as I do now. I think, you know, that came together again with, you know, when I decided what my personal mission, that I did really strongly strengthen my faith in God, and you know, I started to learn more about, you know, belief, and you know, I mean, I, like, part of my daily routine is I go to my knees every single morning and say a prayer between 5 and 10 minutes. And, you know, something I'm very faithful with. At one time in my life, I was not. I believe in God really through my whole life, but certainly had periods in my life where that my faith was not really as strong as it is now. So.
Sure. Yep. I've definitely been there. Definitely. So I'm curious too, you know, at that moment, right, when he misses and then, you know, the transition back down the court, was there chatter on the bench? I mean, was there like, oh my gosh, like this is going to turn out bad? Or were they still, no matter what, were they?
Well, the that was a good question. I will say that when Jason entered the game, I got really overwhelmed with emotion on how they greeted him. So I actually, you know, I don't usually sit down, but I sat down and tears started to roll down my face. So I really did not. I was not that aware of his teammates on the bench as far as when I went through it for the, you know, during the game. I was just more into, you know, number one, I just couldn't believe the reception, you know, or the fact is, you know, when he missed his first shot, I was really thinking, oh, God, please, can, you know, we just got to help him get one basket, you know, make a good memory for him. And so then when he started making the shots, of course, the place was going crazier and crazier, and I kind of was on the other side of it. I was crying harder and harder. And then and I didn't really, I mean, the place was just in pure bedlam, but I didn't really realize how much his teammates on the bench were into it until I watched the video the next day. And I was so proud to see how, you know, they were jumping and screaming, because I guess I was just in my own little world for those 4 minutes where I, you know, and I didn't realize too much around me until the next day when I watched the video. I was like, wow, this is awesome how they, you know, responded to every basket he made. It was really special.
Absolutely, absolutely. So Life Transformation Radio, this is with Coach Johnson, Dreams Really Do Come True. This is the title of the episode. If you want to ask Coach Johnson a question, you can call in at the number 657-383-1109. Again, that number is 657-383-1109. So throughout everything, throughout coaching, through transitioning through it all, who has been your biggest influencer?
Well, I have a few. My mom and dad were certainly great influences growing up. I mean, they were great models for me, and you know, they loved me dearly. They're both, fortunately, they're still alive, and I've been very fortunate to have them in my life. My wife was certainly a great influence. She really helped me through my trying 20s when I really struggled. And stuck with me through my highs and lows there. And then I guess from the outside, you know, because I ended up, doing a lot of reading, listening to a lot of CDs and tapes and all that. And so John Wooden, from a coaching perspective, you know, the famous UCLA coach, I started to follow his career a lot and admired, you know, not only him as a coach, but more importantly as a person. And then when I really got into my own personal growth, I've listened to a lot of people like Zig Ziglar and Tony Robbins. But the guy that probably is the most influenced was a guy named Jim Rohn that passed away in 2009. I've listened to more Jim Rohn than I think any person as far as like personal growth. And he just hit me between the eyes with a lot of little simple things in life that they got me to think and act on some things that have helped me immensely. So
that's awesome. That's, man. So I guess the other question is who do you think was your biggest, like if you had to nail it down, who would be your biggest supporter?
Well,
who kept you going?
Say,
I mean, it was nonstop.
Yeah, my biggest supporter would be my parents and my wife, no question about it.
Okay.
I mean, I have some really good friends in the coaching world that, you know, have supported me. But no question that my wife and my parents have been my greatest supporters.
That's awesome. That's, man. Yeah, like you know, when I joined the military, you know, it was like I had family that was in there. And it was like, okay, you guys are the subject matter experts. Like, you got to help me. You know, like you're already doing it, you know. And even then, even as they transitioned out, they had a brother-in-law who was a Marine. And I looked up to him through everything he was doing. And after his time was done, you know, it was like, okay, well, here I go. You know, but I still always had these little questions like, what about this? What about this? You know, so it was nice to have those people around me because you never know, you know, who is in your circle, you know, who's going to elevate you past that roadblock, past that obstacle. you know?
Right.
And so I tell everybody, you know, build your personal board of directors. If every single CEO attends board meetings for their company, or at least a CFO or some executive president, you know, they have board meetings to talk about last quarter growth, this quarter growth, last quarter sales, this quarter sales. You know, why are we not building a personal board of directors for our life that elevates us to the next level? You know, you have all these people that are supporting you. You know, you have like wealth coaches and health coaches and, you know, personal professional development, and you have your spirituality coach, and you have these different areas of your life, you know, and you need to apply people that are around us, you know, and then even those that you meet, you know, I feel like God puts people in our path for a reason, for a season, to elevate us to wherever we need to go, and then all of a sudden they're out of our life. But everybody, I mean, it's just like pawns on a chessboard, you know. Our life is just one big chessboard, and all these pieces are being moved around. And sometimes you need help from somebody else, and it gets you over that hump, gets you over the obstacle, the roadblock. And, you know, I always ask them, like, who are your influencers and who are your supporters? You know, because you never know. Be like, man, there was this one guy like 3 years ago that he influenced me in a way and got me over. But I don't really talk to him anymore. It's just, I don't know. I find it very, I don't know how, like, I get excited because I hear about people like, oh, yeah, there was this one guy, but we don't really talk anymore. You know what I mean? And you're like, wow,
yeah,
that's so awesome.
I love your metaphor. I mean, I have to steal that sometime. Your personal board.
Absolutely.
That's a great line. I love that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, use it for your keynotes, and yeah, absolutely. So, do you feel like your transformation is complete, or like are you still going?
I'm still going. I mean, I take a lot of pride in continuing to grow as a person. I've read probably over 1,000 books in my life, and I'm now reading more. And so I've really become an addict. I'm really trying to grow. And my other, you know, I've got a couple other missions. Like one is that I really want to become an advocate for the around the country for autism. So that's one of my dreams. And I also want to, you know, just try to grow as many people as I can and help as many people as I can through, you know, my personal services of keynotes and workshops and that type of thing. So, you know, and I started to do a lot of things, you know, just to try to share, you know, content that I believe in, whether it's through my blog or my life lessons newsletter, or, you know, I've started some video series on teamwork and leadership and personal growth. So so I'm really just trying to give back a lot of the information and wisdom that I've learned over the years from so many different sources. So.
All right. So out of all the books you read, give me three that just stand out to you, like, holy crap, you've got to read this, you know, these books, you know?
Well, you know what, I will say, Sean, that's a really challenging. I will give you actually at least a few, because I've read
a lot
of great books. But I'll start with the book that really started me was The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. That book stands out. I was blessed to speak to Franklin Covey at the Global Summit a few years ago. Unfortunately, Dr. Covey had passed away. I didn't get to meet some of his family. But that was a real honor. A couple books that I really loved. I'm a big fan of John Maxwell, so I've read a lot of his leadership books. Two books
love
that have
John
jumped
Maxwell
out to me was Season of Life by Jeffrey Marks. Is a book about Joe Ehrman that was a former professional football player that came back and was like a volunteer football coach for a youth team, and just a great life lessons book. Another book that I loved was The Last Lecture by Randy Pausch. He was on Oprah. He was a teacher at Carnegie Mellon, and he ended up having cancer and ended up passing away. But he wrote a book just before he died that was extremely powerful that I've read, you know, a bunch of times, and every time I get something new out of it. I You know, I'm big on the chicken soup for the soul books. We actually got in our story got in the chicken soup for the soul for Inside Basketball, and
so I
read a number of those, and one of the best coaching books I've ever read, you know, because I've read a lot of basketball coaching books, was Dean Smith's book on the 12 Leadership Principles of Dean Smith. I thought that was a really powerful book. I could see why he was so successful. He was great at building relationships. And so I've read quite a few of the books that were written on John Wooden, you know, being a big fan. And then I guess a couple of other quick ones, because I'm huge on leadership. I've read a ton of leadership books. Is Phillips wrote a couple books on Martin Luther King is my all-time favorite American, and he wrote a book on Martin Luther King on Jr. on leadership. He also wrote another one on Lincoln and leadership that I thought were extremely well done, and you know, picked up a lot of good things from that. So, but I've picked up so many different ideas from, you know, various books that, you know, and been able to use in my life. So, but those are some of them, certainly, because I've read so many books, you know, so.
Awesome. Yeah, I love the Seven Habits. You know, I probably one of my favorite, I guess, ever would be the Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. I think that it's going to be an influencer. Like, you have to, I think that should be a prerequisite for you being a teacher or a coach or whatever you're going to do. Like, when you influence people and you're in charge of people as like a leader. Mark Sanborn has a couple of really good ones. Mark Sanborn wrote The Fred Factor, and then he also wrote a book called You Don't Need a Title to Be a Leader. And I facilitated one of his courses last year. It was great. Oh, I had a blast.
Okay.
Facilitated one of his. And then I facilitated John Maxwell's The Laws of Leadership and also The Laws of Growth. And I'm saving up to be a John Maxwell speaker and trainer. I'm saving up because it's a lot of money.
Good for you. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, he's certainly
that's
a good one. Actually, Mark Seinberg's a part of the National Speakers Association. So I'm a Facebook friend of him. I've seen him at some of the conferences. I've actually never gotten a chance to talk to him, but I know his Fred Factor book is a great book. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. So let's shift gears a little bit and tell us where you're headed now. You know, what new adventures, businesses, family? I mean, you know, what are you doing with your time today?
Yeah, well, I'll start with family. I'm in a new situation, the fact that I've retired from my teaching and coaching job to speak professionally full-time. My wife is still teaching. She's got one more year, and then she's going to retire. We have only one child. He's a son. We're very proud of him. He's an attorney in Los Angeles. So we're one of the things we want to do once she retires is I don't know if we'll move out to the West Coast, but we're certainly going to try to spend more time out there. And that'll be, you know, from a family situation. From my professional, you know, I've made the transition to, you know, speak full time. I do two keynotes. I do an inspirational keynote called Dreams Really Do Come True, which I talk about six keys to, and share a lot about the JMAC story. And then I also do another keynote called Leadership Lessons from Half Court, which I talk about seven keys to be an effective leader. I've done workshops on both of those. I've also done a lot of workshops for students on goal setting, because I've spent a lot of time studying that and working with my teams over the years. Because Jason is autistic, I've partnered with a local organization called Autism Up. It was started by four or five mothers that all had children on the spectrum, and we actually did a fundraiser from last year that we raised $25,000 for them. And one of the dreams I want to do is I really want to give back to you know, families and people on the autistic spectrum. So, as I said earlier, one of my dreams is to be an advocate for autism all over the country. Jason and I are actually going out to speak at an event sponsored by Zappos, the shoe online company that is in Las Vegas. And we're going to go out in the second week of in April to they're doing an Autism Awareness Day, and we're going to be speaking at that. And I think they're going to do a little basketball clinic. So we're really excited about that. And And I'm actually re-releasing my book, Coaching a Miracle. I've updated, have an updated addition to it with some new pictures and a new epilogue, and we're going to bring that out sometime in April for Autism Awareness Month, which is April. And then I'm getting people to ask me to write a leadership book, so that may be a project I'm going to take on. And then my own personal, I'm really big into my own health and wellness, and I've picked up a later sport. I actually picked up the game of tennis in my late 40s, and now I'm a very avid tennis player, decent tennis player, certainly not great, but I really enjoyed staying competitive in something that I didn't really play as a kid. So I've got a lot of things going, but I'm really excited about the direction. I've had a lot of people ask me, am I going to get back into coaching? And I certainly am not going to shut that door. That could be if it was the right situation. But I'm really enjoying what I'm doing right now, and I'm looking forward to it. But, you know, bottom line is I really want to live my mission and be a great role model and really, you know, try to give back and help make this world a better place for everybody. So.
Perfect. Amazing. So with that said, if you had to go back, would you change anything?
You know, it's always a challenging question because there's certainly things that, that you know, in hindsight, you would say you changed.
Right.
I certainly, you know, I was very big into basketball as a high school player. And I was a pretty good player. I wasn't great. I thought I was better than I was. But one thing I would have done is I got humbled and didn't make the team in college. And that was one regret that I didn't stay with it and really continue to work and try to make the team. I really went another path. So that was something I regretted. And I would say that I yeah, I'm disappointed on how I lived the decade of my 20s. I really was directionless. But I will say that with one stipulation, and that is I think that God really puts different things in your life for a reason, and I think it's helped me become a much better person because of some of the trials and tribulations and the pains that I went through with some of those things. So I, overall, yes, there's always things I think you would rather have done or changed, but at the other side, I think they're all valuable lessons, and if you attack them that way, I think it helps you continue to move forward in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, I look back at the things that I've done as a, joining the military and getting a drinking problem and becoming an alcoholic and then, being a suicide survivor and then using my story to inspire other people to overcome addiction, overcome adversity, and overcome those obstacles that come in our life and how to develop skills to overcome those self-defeating behaviors. It's hard for me to say, yeah, definitely, man, I wish I wouldn't have gone through that horrible tragedy, but it changed my life, It gave me a purpose. I always believe that everything that we're going through is preparing us for what we're going to do or where we're going to, So it's hard for me to say, man, this sucks. Like, I wish I wouldn't have done that, or oh man, I wish I could have done that differently. Like, if I knew J-Mac was going to do that, I would just put him in the whole game, You don't know if really that's what would have happened, but it's almost like those perfect moments. Like, man, I don't want to mess with it because it was so perfect. Like, you know what I mean? It's how we remember it, and
right?
Change
right.
It.
Absolutely.
It's like, man, does it take the luster away? Does it?
Yeah.
I think what we regret the most sometimes is emotional stuff, like, I hurt this person for no reason, and I was a terrible person, like in my early 20s, I was rude to everybody. I thought that, like, I was the best there was. I was the greatest thing since sliced bread, and come to find out I wasn't,
I
found out very quickly when I joined the Air Force that, you're nothing, because other people are longer,
Right.
But yeah, I think a lot of the emotional regret, is what comes up. We think, man, I ruined that relationship, and so that's my take on it.
Yep.
Long story short.
Well said, for sure. Yeah.
So we talked about the books earlier. What do you think was the best? So with no one's help, I'm gonna change this up a little bit. So with no one's help, it's just something that you may have stumbled on, or something that you're like, you know, I know this works, so I'll use it every time. But what do you think was the best resource that you found during this journey?
Well, I'll answer it with two ways. I think one is that you certainly have to learn from your experience, you know, both positive and negative. And I think when you get things that are positive, you got to do more of it. You know, it's as simple as it sounds. Sometimes we don't. And certainly the negative things, you got to learn from it. And how can I make changes and adjustments? So I think that's very important. Secondly, you know, for life in general, I learned a lot by observing the parents of the players I coached.
Wow.
I learned a lot of good parenting skills, and I learned some things I really thought were bad. And I think that helped me immensely as a parent, and I think it helped me also a lot as a coach in understanding with, you know, how different players were handling, you know, some had great loving situations at home and some did not. And so I learned a lot from observing, you know, my players and their families and that kind of thing. So that was a really helpful thing to observe that and then figure out what was best for me and, you know, what would work for me.
Perfect. That's awesome. So let's flip it on its head and say, who gave you the best resource that you used during your journey, and what was it?
Who gave me the best resource? You know what? I would say it would be a combination. One is that I had a coaching friend who's a little bit older than me that challenged me with some different things. Like, for example, he asked me, do you want to be a role model for your team? I said, of course. So he said, well, why don't you tell your team this year that you're not going to drink alcohol during the season? And I had never done that before. And that was a really big turning point to be able to take that challenge, embrace it, and actually work with it. And then the other thing is just when I got into personal growth is, you know, by reading and then, you know, really seeking out, you know, and to get advice for different things and really trying to study what the top people did. I remember one of the coaches, I took over for a small school in about 30 minutes from my home in my late 20s, and we did okay. I was there for 2 years, and I really enjoyed it there, but I got an opportunity to come back to my hometown, so I couldn't turn that down. But but it was interesting was the fact that when I was in that situation is that I learned a lot about, you know, passion, because the small town is just really neat how they're all behind the school. Because I came from a big town where that wasn't as you know, our high school was one of four, you know, in my town. So there's a lot of not, you know, pure allegiance like there was when I was in this small town where, you know, everything was around the school. And so, you know, there was a lot of great learning experiences. It helped me immensely, you know, as a person, you know, and my journey. So
awesome. Love it. So here's your moment, Coach. Shameless plug. You can plug a friend, a quote, websites, Facebook, a movie, McDonald's. Here's your moment. Shameless plug. Go.
Well, I think a couple things is that one would be that if people have never heard or followed any Jim Rohn's material, he's really a fascinating person to listen to because he challenges you a lot of things. I remember, you know, because I talk to college classes now, and I've kind of go a little bit. I've been doing a lot of leadership talks for colleges in recent times, and but I also share about financial independence. And I shared the story. I spoke to a college, a couple of classes last week, and I said, you know, I was in my early 30s, and my net worth was zero. I remember that's when I started to listen to Jim Rohn, and he hit me between the eyes when he said his mentor, because Jim Rohn's story very quickly is he was at 25 years old, he was really floundering, and he met this guy that mentored him, and he ended up going to work for him, and this guy gave him a lot of life ideas, and in one of his seminars I'm watching, he says, his mentor said, Jim, what is your personal financial plan? And Jim Rohn looked at him like he had two heads. And his mentor says, you know, Jim, if you want to be wealthy, you have to study wealth. And that really encapsulated my life in the sense that, oh, my God, you know, I'd rather be wealthy than poor, so I better start figuring this out. The same thing in my, you know, coaching. I found out I had to become a better leader, so I started to really study leadership. And that was really an epiphany, as simple as that sounded. Is I'd never thought of it that way, is that if you're going to be successful in things, you have to study successful people and study the subjects that you're passionate about that you want to be, you know, an expert in. And that's really changed my life immensely. You know, I ended up having a wealth plan. I ended up, you know, and now I do a keynote on leadership, you know, which I think back, you know, 25 years ago, I mean, it's like I could barely lead myself, let alone anybody else. And now I, you know, and now I'm sharing a lot of tips on things that I've learned about leadership. So I think, you know, I would definitely give a plug to Jim Rohn, because my wife, in fact, laughs at me because I still go downstairs. I have these old VHS cassettes, and if I ride my exercise bike, I'll still watch him to this day. You know, and she goes, "You could recite his lines." I said, "I know, but I always pick up something from him every time I watch him."
Yep.
So.
Absolutely.
But
That's awesome.
Yeah, I guess, you know, that I certainly, for my own little situation, is that I certainly would love to stay in touch. And, you know, as I travel the country and speak, if I can help anybody, my website is CoachJimJohnson.com. I have a free Life Lessons newsletter that comes out once a month. I also do a weekly blog. You can follow me on that. And if I can ever support you in speaking or anything with autism, I'd love to do that as well. So.
Awesome. And thank you so much for that. That's awesome. So as we wrap up, deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone.
Right. I'm going to steal a quote from my favorite American that I mentioned briefly before, Martin Luther King.
Uh-huh.
And I love this. And he said, we can all be great because service leads to greatness, and we are all capable of serving. And that quote is one of my all-time favorites, and it really got me to think about that if you want success, you have to learn how to serve as many people as you can and be as successful in service. And, you know, that Martin Luther King was, you know, the essence of example of serving others. And if we can follow his lead and try to make the better world by serving others, that's a pretty powerful thing.
Wow. Yeah, that's absolutely. And then it goes, you know, with like, you know, I'm a Christian, go to church every Sunday, and we serve at the church. And it's just everything that we talk about, you know, just, you know, you have to have a servant's heart. And, you know, and
right.
Zig Ziglar said that if you help enough people get what they want, you'll eventually get what you want. You
right.
know, and it just
absolutely.
Goes back to all about providing value to people. You know,
right.
I have a quote that I say during my keynotes. Well, I have two, but the one that I always say is that we all possess the gift of having a positive impact difference in the lives of everyone that we meet. And if you're not using that gift, then you're committing spiritual suicide on yourself and everyone around you. Like, we have the gift to elevate people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And if we're not trying to elevate them and help people, and what, you know, sometimes you just say, well, not my problem. Like, you do it, not my problem. But it doesn't have to be
yeah.
that way. You know, like, it's not meddling. It's not, you know, whatever. Someone comes to you with a problem, like, I'm not telling you to fix it, but sometimes just listening fixes the problem. Like, thank you for listening. And it really helped me. And, you know, because sometimes you're almost talking through your own problems or they're talking through their problems. But I always tell people, I'm like, we all possess a gift.
Right.
And that gift is the positive impact difference that you can have in the lives of everyone you meet. And if you are not giving your gift away, then you are committing spiritual suicide on yourself and everyone around you. So, yeah, and you've definitely accomplished the gift-giving part and have, man, you have impacted so many people at every practice and every game, and it just goes to show, you know, the type of support that you have in what you're doing. So I applaud you in joining the autism organization and going and speaking and still inspiring and elevating and motivating and all that. So I definitely applaud you, and I look up to you. You're on my board of directors. You're definitely on my board of directors. So
I appreciate that very much. So
awesome. So give us a call to action. Like what should someone do today? I don't know, buy your book, buy a product, you know, go to your website, write in a journal, make some goals. Like what is your normal call to action, that you want to give somebody?
Well, you know, my own self is with my new book release coming out. I certainly will be sending some information out on that. But as far as a call to action is that, I think I'll share two things. Number one is I think you have to understand the why. Why were you put on this earth? So my challenge to all the listeners is I think you really have to understand, you know, your mission and then to live it. So that's number one. And number two is, you know, you mentioned Zig Ziglar, and I'm a big fan of Zig as well. And, you know, I've listened to him a number of times over the years. And you know, he always talks about goal setting and the fact that you can't hit a target you don't have. And I know that, you know, I've actually spent time with people, you know, how to set goals. But I challenge people that start to put a few disciplines in your life. Like what I do is I write my goals down on index cards, and I get up in the morning. The first thing I do is I get in front of a mirror and I say two statements. I say, I am responsible and I like myself. And then after that, I go through all my goals. And then another discipline I added, I've been only doing about 4 years, but I have not missed a day for four straight years. I got this idea from Brian Tracy, was to write your goals down in a spiral notebook every day. And, you know, and sometimes they change a little bit, but I basically right now for the last 4 years is I've been writing somewhere between 15 to 18 goals that I write out each day. And it's amazing because, again, it gives me clarity and what you know, and their goals in all different phases of my life, from my personal, professional, health, financial, you name it. And then, you know, so I'm clear about what I want. And the other thing is it's just like a little discipline that I have to do, you know, on a daily basis. And then one bonus tip I'll give that I didn't do for a long time. As I mentioned, I've read a number of books, and I started to read a lot about, you know, that you should take time to meditate or just sit quietly. And I could never understand that, and I never did it for many, many years. And I just started doing it the last couple of years. And I'm amazed on the power. I have a goal now every day, and I don't make it every day, but I'm making a majority of the days is I got to sit just quietly. I do a little breathing exercise, and I do a couple affirmations, and I do some visualization. But I really try to sit quietly for 10 minutes. And I'll tell you, when I first started doing it, I was amazed at how hard it is just to sit quietly for 10 minutes.
Oh,
but again, it's just a little discipline that you can add to your life, and it's amazing how clear your mind gets when you just try to sit, you know, and just clear everything away from, you know, your everyday grind of you know, what you're doing. So,
yeah, absolutely. I teach mindfulness as a resilience trainer. One of the skills that I teach is a mindfulness, and I go through, you know, breathe in, breathe out. You know, what are you feeling right now? You know, the different techniques. You know, like see, hear, and feel. You know, what am I feeling? What am I hearing? And if you're in a classroom, you know, I'm like, well, I can hear the lights buzzing, you know. But what I think is great about it is that, you know, when I first started, I got the attention span of a goldfish, you know. I'm sitting here, I'm like, all right, I'm done. I'm bored. Okay, I'm done. This doesn't help, you know. But as you develop the skill and as you do it and as you apply it according to your personality rather than how everybody else does it, you know, you can – sit there quietly, but still think about things. My mind goes a million miles a minute. I'll stop what I'm doing, shoot myself a text message because I had a thought. I had an idea. I'm like, ooh, I got to write this down. And so I either have a memo or I'll like shoot myself a text message or something, you know. Well, my wife would get text messages like, hey, it's this. She goes, what are you talking about? I'm like, never mind. You know, it's just I have all these thoughts. So mindfulness was actually something that I struggled with a lot. And then as I did it more and more and more, I actually, yeah, that's one of my rituals in the morning is I wake up, I sit down in my bed, and I just breathe. You know, in and out,
mm-hmm.
I'm just breathing, but I'm focusing. What I'm doing is I'm breathing, I'm centering myself, but I'm literally going through what I think my day is going to look like. I'm in the car, I'm driving to work, I get to work, this is what I'm doing. I'm negotiating to speak at this conference. I'm, you know, whatever it is I think I'm going to do that day, I'm going through it so that when I do go through it or when it ends up happening, I've already kind of been there in my mind and I already know what to expect and it's not like a surprise or it's not a – I don't know. Tony Robbins calls it priming. You know, he's priming
mm-hmm.
himself to expect blessings to come his way and to expect things. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm right with you. The mindfulness thing, I was like, this sucks. This is stupid. Why would I ever do this? You know, as you do it, you know, you tailor it to fit you. You know what I mean? Not you to fit the mindfulness. You know, you tailor it to fit you. So, absolutely. It's all about growing. If we're not growing, we're dying, right?
Without a doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, like I said, if we're not growing, then, you know, we're just stuck. So, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. I cannot thank you enough for your time, Coach. This has been amazing. I wrote down the books. Definitely going to blast that out so, you know, everybody can know more about what you're doing. And get in touch with you if they need to get in touch with you. So definitely thank you so much for your time.
Oh, my pleasure. It was great, and I look forward to staying in touch with you, Sean. You're doing some wonderful things, and I appreciate it very much. So I'm glad I could
absolutely
do it with
would
you.
Love to stay in touch. Yeah, absolutely. Glad I could do this with you as well. Yeah. So Life Transformation Radio, this is another episode here with Coach Johnson. We learned that dreams really do come true. And it's all about personal development, believing in yourself, affirmations, and just taking that very first step. Whatever that step is, just take that step and get that personal development going. So we are here every Wednesday live, 5:30 Eastern. Tune in, blogtalkradio.com. This has been another episode of Life Transformation Radio. And as we say here, live your brand. Find opportunities to live out your values that you hold dear to your heart. We call it living your brand. Have a good night.